Okay, good morning everyone. So here we are on week three of our teaching series, Just Walk Across the Room. And let's just do a recap, quick recap of the last couple of weeks. So the first week, the title was The Single Greatest Gift. And if you remember, there were some little gift boxes for you all to take away as a reminder of the theme. And the single greatest gift that we can all give to the people around us is an introduction to the God who created them, who loves them, and who has a purpose for their lives. And that was what we explored during that talk. If you remember, we looked at leaving our circles of comfort, stepping into the zones of the unknown, and beginning to take risks to intentionally reach out to people around us. Understanding that evangelism, that scary word, is really just all about taking opportunities, looking for ways to give people that single greatest gift, an introduction to the God who loves them. So that was week one. Week two, last week, we looked at living in 3D. And if you remember, there were some little 3D glasses for you to take away as a reminder of the theme. And the 3Ds were the three important ways we need to begin to relate to people if we are to share the single greatest gift with them. And that is, number one, developing friendships. Number two, discovering stories. And number three, discerning next steps. Basically, we discovered that after we decide to take that walk across the room, it's so important to focus on the precious person opposite us and develop a friendship with them instead of just diving in, saying our bit about God and getting out of there. It's really important to discover the other person's story instead of getting our own agenda into the conversation. And lastly, discerning next steps. It's so vital that we follow the nudgings and the promptings of Holy Spirit about how to talk with this person, how to love them, how to care for them, and what next steps might be appropriate that we could take to meet a need of theirs, to care for them, or to encourage them on their journey of awareness. So the important thing is that our role is simply to leave our circle of comfort, to step out in faith into the zone of the unknown, to just start that conversation. Ask questions, begin to develop friendships, and explore where there might be an open door. The rest is completely up to God. Now this week, week three, we're looking at what happens when the person you're talking to eventually comes to say something like, okay, tell me why you're a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? What do we answer? We have to have an answer. 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. We can't ever force our views on people. God doesn't do that and didn't do it to us. God is a lover. He wooed us, invited us to know him, revealed himself to us as we became open to see him, and then he invited us into his story. But ultimately, it was our choice. Living in 3D that we looked at last week plants the seeds for spiritual conversations to take place. But being able to tell a story, God's story, and our story is what bears the fruit. So hence, our theme this week, week three, the power of story. And what we're going to be looking at is how to tell God's story well and how to tell our story well. First of all, though, we're just going to look at the power of story. And one of the things that we need to realise is that stories and the words used to tell them are powerful. Jesus was the ultimate storyteller, and there are many quotes throughout Scripture reminding us of the power of our words for good and bad. I'd really recommend you take a look at Psalm 119. It's an amazing psalm, and it's all about the power of God's words, how they bring light, how they revive us, how they strengthen us, how they enlarge our hearts, bring joy and peace and hope. And then if you look at Proverbs, lots of Proverbs talks about our words, how our reckless words pierce like a sword, how words from the tongue of the wise can actually bring healing, how pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 12, says that the words from a wise man's mouth are gracious. And if you look at Job, chapter 22, verse 28, it says, "You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you." That's incredible, incredible power in our words, in the power of our declarations, that we, walking in the Spirit of God, can declare a thing and it will be established for us. And if we just look in our world today, psychologists tell us that negative words spoken over people crush them, but positive words build esteem and confidence. Words are so crucial. It's interesting, isn't it, that God allows such power to inhabit our words in the same way they do in his. And I don't know about you, but I would love people to be able to say of me that in the course of my normal everyday life, I can be counted on to speak words of encouragement and grace, words that build people up, that bring hope. So, looking at this theme of the power of story, I think there are two primary areas where effective words are so important. The first one is how we talk about God, explaining who he is and what he's done. And secondly, how we talk about our personal experience with God, explaining the main thing he's done in our lives. So, what's God's story? What's your story? And how can we tell them both well? So that people listening to us walk away saying, "Ah, that I understood. That I enjoyed. I'd really like some of that." So that's what we're tackling this morning. And you know what I think? Once we make that commitment in our hearts to becoming a walk across the room person, to actually being intentional about engaging with people and living in 3D, God is going to open up doors for us to have opportunities to say a word for him. And in that moment, if we know clearly and easily, if it comes straight to mind, how to tell both God's story and our story, then this dreaded thing called evangelism becomes a whole lot easier. So, God's story. God has a story, a powerful story, an incredible story of love, of rescue and redemption. And do you know what? There is no higher honour that we could have than to be tellers of that story to the world. And I think that your job and mine is to learn to tell God's story well in the way that it deserves. What we did on the Sunday morning was get into partners and one tell the other God's story, the gospel message in a minute as they understood it. I timed everybody and stopped them after a minute. And we took some feedback and nearly everybody ran out of time. Most people found it hard. Not very many people found it easy. And we nearly need to think about how we are going to communicate God's story. if we're talking to someone who's not part of church, what do we need to remember? I think we need to remember that verse from Peter, 1 Peter 3:15 I talked about earlier. We need to communicate the reason for the hope we have with gentleness and respect. We need to value people, treat them with gentleness, with respect. I think it's really good to avoid loads of religious jargon. Number one, it won't be understood. And number two, it just pigeonholes us as religious people. And the message, people could just get turned off as soon as they hear religious words. But also, I think we need to remember Romans 1, verse 16, that says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel is powerful, the words of the gospel are powerful, and we need be not ashamed of them. We walk this balance between communicating clearly and in a way that people can understand, but remembering the gospel is powerful. Jesus died for every one of us. That is a powerful message. I think there are some core basic elements that we need to have in God's story. And on the morning, as a congregation, we explored those and came down to basically we need to have in there God's love. God loves you. We need to have in there Jesus. Jesus chose to stand in your place. We need to have reference to the fact that it's a free gift, not by our own efforts. And the fact that the choice is ours, whether to accept or not. So on Sunday morning, we took a look at two YouTube clips. If you go on YouTube and Google the gospel in a minute, there'll be a couple of clips that come up that you can have a look at. And we just basically looked at them. Did we like them? Were they full of jargon? Did they communicate well? And used them to help frame our thoughts as to how to tell God's story for ourselves. Now, I chatted to Ruth Middleton and said, okay, Ruth, you're a great teacher. Tell me, what's the gospel, the good news message, in a minute? And she told me a really great thing that some of us might like to adopt. It's called Do versus Done. And it's basically a really simple explanation of the gospel and what makes Christianity different to every other religion. So here we go. Religion is usually about what I can do to get right with God and find peace and eternal happiness. How good I can be, what prayers I can say, or what sacrifice I can make so that I'm good enough. Christianity is completely the opposite. It's all about what God has already done to make that all possible for us in sending Jesus to die for us. That's do versus done. What we try to do, but what Jesus has done for us already. Another illustration that you could use is the bridge illustration, which goes something like this. People want to get to God, but we know we can't. We try with all our own efforts to build a bridge to reach him. The truth is that all the human effort in the world won't get us to the other side. But God loves us so much that he intervened to build the bridge for us so that we would have the way to get close to him. Jesus came to earth to be our bridge, and whoever crosses over it through him will be with God forever. So there's another way. But you know what? I think the most important thing is to do it our way, in a way that fits us. There's no one way. There's no particular style. There's no set of rules. God made us all individuals, and we all have our own unique ways of doing things. God loves that. So let's think about telling God's story in our way, with our language, getting those four core elements in, but learning how to do it well. Do you know what? We're not responsible for transforming a human heart. That is the role of the Holy Spirit. Our role, when prompted to do so, is to open our mouths and give a gentle, thoughtful, clear and passionate understanding of who God is, of what he's done for every single person who ever has or ever will walk this planet. That's all. Nothing more and nothing less. Now, the second story that I think it's really important we learn to tell well is our story. Not only does God have a story, which is what we've just been looking at, but we have a story as well. A really powerful story of how Jesus has changed our lives. And our job is to learn to tell that story, which is unique to us, well. I'd love us to be able to do our part to ensure that as far as this congregation is concerned, we have our act together on the story front. We can do our part to cause this Maidenhead community to say, the Christians over there at River, they know how to tell God's story. And to hear them talk about what he's done in their lives, it makes me want that type of thing for my own life. Now, on the Sunday morning, what we did was, again, I gave people a minute, and in pairs, people told their story to the other in 1 minute. And again, it was really interesting. It was not an easy thing to do. People found it hard, and usually people did not finish. And we pulled out some things to avoid. Okay, weird God stories. I think when we're talking to somebody, unless we really feel Holy Spirit prompting us, I think it's really best to avoid weird God stories. In his book, Just Walk Across the Room, Bill Hybels tells the story of being in an airport and being accosted by another Christian who didn't know who he was and didn't know that he was a Christian, and who began this story. Hey, guess what? The other night, God woke me up at 2:22. And then the next day, God woke me up at 3:33. And the following day, Bill Hybels said, let me guess, God woke you up at 4:44. And the story went on. That kind of thing, you know, those things have significance to us as Christians, but to people who don't know our world, a bit bonkers. So it's really important, I think, that we avoid weird God stories at the outset. If this is our 1 minute opportunity to put something across that's truthful and reasonable and attractive to people about who God is. Again, we need to avoid jargon, religious language. We have a real opportunity to tell our story in a way that sets it apart, that makes people think. If we just use pat phrases and cliched statements, people switch off. I love to just take the opportunity to say things in a way people wouldn't expect me to, about a friendship, about God loving us. And it's a real opportunity for us. So avoid jargon, religious language, weird stuff. And I think the third really important thing to avoid is being long-winded. Stories that start, well, when I was 3, and then when I was 4, you've lost your listener by the time you get to age 10. So really, I think it's a minute. Learn to tell your story in a minute. And I think one of the most important things to get across is the before and the after. The promise of the gospel is that we become new creations when we invite Jesus and his Spirit into our lives. He will transform us. So, we see biblical examples of this in John 9, the man blind from birth. His before and after was quite straightforward. I was blind, now I see. We have Zacchaeus, the cheating, thieving tax collector, who becomes a generous giver. Once I was a thief and a cheat, now I love to give after I've met Jesus. In John 8, the one I love, the woman caught in adultery, her before and after meeting Jesus, I was condemned, but now I'm forgiven. What's yours? What's your before and after? What's the difference that Jesus has made in your life? Who were you before you met Jesus? And who are you now? What's the one key that makes your life different. Tell it, and tell it well. As we close, I just like to think about a verse from Corinthians 1. Corinthians 14 verse 9 says, "If you speak in a way that no one can understand, what's the point of opening your mouth?" I think that's a really good reminder. If we speak in a way people don't understand, if we tell God's story and our story in a way that people can't understand, what's the point in even opening our mouths? Let's make the Lord proud and glad and happy as we work hard to shape and sharpen our before and after stories, our story of who we are now we've met Jesus. Let's keep working at our story and God's story until we're ready to share it confidently and easily. And then let's tell it as God gives us the opportunity. Now, the giveaway this week, I've got some little notebooks here. I'd love everyone to take one. To take one as a reminder to do your homework this week. And your homework this week is to work on God's story and your story. I want to challenge you to write them. Write God's story so that you can tell it in a minute. And write your story so that you can tell it in a minute. If you want comment on it or help with it, then email me and we can work on it. Next week, what I'd love to do is start with some of your stories in a minute to hear what it is Jesus has done for you. That will be so encouraging for us, and it will be great to see what you've worked on. And also, you may like to go to a website called mystory.me and have a look at some of the stories there. This is a website where you can post your story. You can invite your friends to read it. It doesn't have to be public to the whole world. You can invite friends to read it. But if you go and look at mystory.me, you'll find lots of examples of stories there that might inspire you. So, that's week three, the power of story. If we're going to communicate, like walk across the room people, we need to realise stories are powerful. God has an incredibly powerful story. Let's learn to tell it well. We have an amazing story of encounter with Jesus. Let's learn to tell that well too. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you that your heart is for people. I thank you that we have amazing stories of who we were before we met you, and now we have met you, our lives are changed. Lord, help us in the week that comes to get a fresh appreciation of your story, a fresh appreciation of our story with you. And Holy Spirit, help us to work on them, to shape them, to be able to tell them in ways that are attractive, that draw people in, that point people to Jesus, that open people's hearts up to go, you know what? I want some of that. So, Holy Spirit, work with us, help us, be with us. And this week, open up for every one of us opportunities to walk across the room. In Jesus' name, amen.